Coming up in this episode of Reflections.
After I finished college, I went back to my high school. I wanted a copy of my transcript because I was thinking about, you know, what was my next step? And I ran into my old guidance counselor. Kind of, hi, how are you? Oh, I just graduated from college, moving back to town and blah, blah, blah. And he looked at me and went, really? You graduated from college?
Hi, I'm Rick Higgins, and welcome to Reflections, your favorite storytelling podcast. Every other week, we bring you tales of, well, people who have found difficult struggles and have somehow come out the other side a different person. And today, we're going to do something a little bit unusual. You see, I interviewed this young man who was telling me his tale, his story, about how the American educational system and a certain mental illness just don't go very well together. It was an incredibly powerful and moving story. But then, not 2 hours later, I was interviewing another person, and I heard the exact same story, only it was a different diagnosis. So today, we're going to explore those who, well, don't fit into the standard educational box. Ellen Bush is an author and a podcaster, and her book, Disempowered, has made an incredible impact.
Hi, my name is Ellen Bush, and I am the author of Disempowered. And the reason for that title is I started out in the education system as completely disempowered and had to learn to become empowered through challenges. So at the age of 6 or 7, I was diagnosed as dyslexic. And though I went to a very good public school in an affluent community, New York City suburb, I was given an academic death sentence. My parents were sat down in a parent-teacher conference, and they were told that I might be able to finish high school, but going to college was out of the question, and they should focus on finding me a husband who would take care of me because I would not be contributing to society. It was just impossible. And my parents just flat out refused that. That parent-teacher conference ended with my mother pounding her fist on the desk, saying, I refuse to allow you to condemn my daughter. And so began my education. Now, they fought for me every step of the way. They supported me. They were there, and I did go on to college. I got a 4-year degree and in allied health or health science, which is a very difficult degree. And then I even went on for a master's degree and earned my MBA. So, and I just published a book. So clearly they got it wrong. And unfortunately, the bias or the belief system that was in place in the 70s was one where they believed that dyslexia equaled an intellectual disability. And that's just so far from the truth. My parents supported me in so many different ways. My mother was in the classroom. She was a class mom. Every parent-teacher conference helped me with my homework every day. And my dad was my cheerleader. My dad was an Army veteran, and he understood that the real learning takes place outside of the classroom. And he put me into challenging situations, which I loved. He taught me everything he knew. As a little girl, he taught me how to read nautical charts, how to pilot his boat, how to use a compass, how to read the water and the buoys. I used to have to stand on a upside down bucket so I could reach the steering wheel and see the compass and the bow of the boat. So that's how things got started. And then as I got older, it became very apparent that I have the explorer archetype and am intensely curious. I grew up on the ocean and I was intensely curious about the environment and loved being there. He wanted me to be doing hard things all the time. He used to say, you know, I want you girls to be prepared for whatever life throws at you. So he was always putting us in challenging situations, including difficult chores, like stacking firewood. At 15, he sent me on Outward Bound which was one of the greatest experiences of my life, and especially at such a young age. It changed the trajectory of my life. At 17, he got me into a scuba diving certification program. Loved that. So, and that was challenging. High school was always challenging, but I learned how to meet challenges and how to persevere and how to work hard and to just keep pushing through them. Unfortunately, despite all of their support and their love, the education system treated me so badly, they destroyed my self-esteem. I mean, when you treat a child like that, you take away their potential and you destroy their self-esteem and their self-worth. And that is exactly what happened to me. So despite all of these wonderful accomplishments, I didn't believe in myself. And I wasn't even aware of it. So fast forward 20 years, 30 years, I get married. Really knew I was settling, but didn't know I was marrying a narcissist. Ended up in a psychologically abusive marriage with an incident of violence for 6 years. I had to plan and execute my escape in order to get out safely, and I did so. And my parents took me in because I needed help. I didn't have any other place to go. So at that point, I got to work. At that point, I was so traumatized. I was driving through red lights and stop signs. I knew I was in trouble. I knew if I didn't break this pattern or break away from whatever was causing me to get into these kinds of situations, it was going to happen again. I was lucky to have survived the first time, and I knew I might not be lucky the next time. So I went to work with coaches and therapists and started to heal. And my book is really about a 10-year journey of healing and learning to thrive. And the good news is that you can heal, you can completely rebuild your life, and you can thrive. And I did it. I've done it. And I did it with a lot of hard work and commitment to myself. And what happened over those first 5 years of healing was it was really just focused on healing and understanding why this label of dyslexia was so powerful and had such a grip on me. And once I began to dissemble or destroy that label and its hold on me, my life began to change and I began to change. And I started to seek out new things. Now I was continuing to heal. There's always that cycle where we're like emotional onions. There's always another layer. And at the same time, that healing process became a discovery of self-discovery. And then I started training with Commander Mark Devine, who is a retired Navy SEAL. And he has a training program for civilians. And he teaches people how to excel. And his program is full of breathwork, physical challenges, learning emotional toughness, resiliency. It's basically what the SEALs do in order to become Navy SEALs. And that program has taught me how to thrive. And I have done martial arts training. I have done firearms training. I have done breathwork and yoga training with Mark and his coaches. And it has been a life-changing experience. I worked so hard to get myself to this point where I could say, you know what, I'm thriving. And in the middle of COVID, I had the chance to move from the East Coast to Colorado. And I did. It was my dream to be able to live here and to be able to ski all winter long and enjoy hiking the mountains in the summer. And I made it happen. And I made it happen because I had the courage to follow my dreams. I also had the courage to heal and to try new things and to learn how to thrive.
You can find more information about Ellen at ellenbush.com, and that's spelled, and these are her words, not mine, just like the beer. The link is in the show notes in the video description below. And real quick, before we move on to our second speaker, did you know that we have a newsletter? Yes, the Pirate Wanderer, the video channel that is actually bringing you this podcast. We have a newsletter, Tales of Nomadic Life, Empowerment, well, and lots of other good stuff. Head on over to rickhiggins.com and sign on up. And don't worry, once you get there, a pop-up will help you find where you need to be. Our second speaker is Thomas R. Wilson, and he was the young man who inspired this entire episode. As I was listening to his tale, I kept thinking back to, well, my struggles with the educational system and my own family, but I don't want to get in the way of his story. Let's hear his tale first.
Hello, my name is Thomas R. Wilson. I am a professional advocate, mentor, writer, journalist, game master, storyteller, so many different things in this world. I work with the neurodiverse community. I work with the mental health community. I really work with anyone who is seeking sensory friendly work. And I'll go into some of that more later on, but I want to tell you a bit about myself. I want to tell you a bit about my story and my journey in education. I remember when I was 4 to 6 years old, I was adored by my teachers. I had struggled as many young kids in pre-K and younger grades, but I remember I'd actually really loved school up to then for the most part. I think most kids kind of hate school to some degree around that time. But I remember when I was a youth, I was praised for being very intelligent. I was praised, and I'm not here to tell you that I'm this great story that has never struggled, because that's not the case. I want to give you a grounding for what really happened, because not long after I was 6, when I was 8 years old, I went through a very intense family trauma, lost someone very close to me that forever changed my path. Not long after that, I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder. I had been labeled as ADHD and ADHD, and I'm using that particular language to remind people that these are things people say to kids. They don't say that you are diagnosed. They refer to us as this from time to time. And I still believe to this day, I do have elements of ADHD. In fact, my diagnosis incorporates many different things that go beyond just regular bipolar disorder. But what I really want to focus on is that kid who was 6 years old, who was promised. I remember the mythology in my mind, and kind of the mythology around me in that age, was that I was going to be this massive success because I was so bright. I read so much. I knew all these answers. But at 8, after a time treating myself, I jumped back into the school system, and it was not even night and day. It was like alternate dimensions. I was dealing with this trauma. My peers made fun of me. I reacted in anger, and that transition of this bright student became this mindset of a monster. I remember from my grades onward, from 8 years old, I had teachers yell at me that I was a problem. I had one teacher yell at me that I was a mistake, that I was a monster, and that I was never going to amount to anything. And I wish I would say that was only one teacher, but that was realistically a lot of what I dealt with. And in my mind to this day, I know now in my work that person first and empathy first based leadership is how we teach people. No child should ever go home crying because they were told they were a monster. No child should ever have to deal with harassment from an adult who's supposed to support them. And that was my experience going from elementary school all the way into middle school. And it got worse in middle school. I have talked to many kids nowadays who say that middle school is worse than high school, and I don't blame them. It is a time of change. It is a time of transition. It is a time of pain. I'm a huge advocate against the ways that we run education in the United States, because I do not believe putting thousands of kids into a system, giving them massive amounts of homework, giving them massive amounts of pressures, keeping them in lectures, really only giving them very limited breaks is how most people learn. I think there's a lot of statistics to prove my point. Many kids don't learn and many kids don't succeed. But even to this day, we're told we're the problem when we have a very flawed system against us. So in my time in middle school, I actually got graduated and got transitioned into a program. Graduated at the skin of my teeth because I hated school so much. I got put in a program for high school by what was going to be my normal high school, into a program where we worked with kids who had behavior, quote unquote, behavioral issues. I don't like the term behavioral issues, because I know now that behavior, all behavior, is a sign of communication. And I find that a lot of behavioral issues are communication people are not listening to. And you can probably pick up on that already. But I'm not going to say this program was great at the beginning. I really struggled intensely with my temper and rage. There were many peers who struggled with their own behavioral aspects, and we were clumped together. It was hard. My first year was really intense, but I will say I was in the right program. My teachers didn't give up on me. They didn't fight me. They didn't call me a monster. They've really worked with me. And that was my first real introduction into a healthy program in the school system. I do believe around that time my behavior died down because people were starting to listen to me. I have lovely family who have stayed by my side throughout my life. And I'm a believer that the right path is an interconnected, winding, very complex thing. A lot of people look at it as a straight and forward path. That is not often the case. It can lead you to the wrong thing in the right time to get you where you need to go. I really believe that. But it was a lot of work that I put in, and I started excelling in the program and went back to my regular high school, learned very quickly. I hated regular high school. It was so much worse than middle school because there were even more kids. It was more complex. And I have never liked waking up at 6 a.m. for something and waking up for 6 a.m. and being in lectures all day and having very limited breaks. I don't know how kids can excel in that. If you do, you are amazing. But I also realized in that program, I needed to go back to the program I was at. And through a lot of work in my senior year, I graduated. I was the first person in that program to graduate through my main high school. And I remember the day that I was graduating, the principal shook many people's hands, gave him people the diploma. And every time I mention this, I get emotional because he knew me. He knew that I was worth it. And he hugged me. My principal hugged me instead of shaking my hand, and just told me he was so proud of me. To this day, that makes me want to tear up. Not long after that, I ended up in college, which many people said I would never achieve. I was told I was going to drop out of high school and never do anything successful by teachers in elementary and middle school. Realized very quickly, I was not a big fan of the college system I was at, but I loved learning. I also realized I love teaching, and I really do love writing. And as I got through the college system, I decided it's going to be a long time to do that. But I learned that through that time, there are a lot of alternative education systems out there. And I've been through many of them. I actually, not long after college, became a certified peer specialist. I've worked with programs to educate youth in the Littleton school system, helping with reading. And that's just the beginning. When I realized how much I loved learning, I started diving into online classes. I started taking lectures. I started reading more books because I got to choose. And I think that's the power of autonomy and agency in education, people getting to learn what they want and how they learn. And as I started learning, I realized that I love teaching because I live in an empathy and person-first mindset. And when I was working with kids who were behind on the reading level, they actually excelled faster than any other kids in that program. When I was in peer specialist training, I realized two things. My experiences were not super unique. They were things many people went through, but I was able to share my story and I helped other people feel more validated. And I know this is kind of a whirlwind, very simple summary of a person's life, but since then, I have been working as a mentor for the past 10 years. As someone who works with my community, I have opened my own business in storytelling using the methods that I know work, using the methods that I wanted for community members who need those resources. One of the great strengths that I had in my life was when people told me I couldn't do something or I wasn't going to amount to anything, my gut reaction was, watch me, I'll prove you wrong. I think that was a massive, massive part of my life. I think that was something that made me survive. But I think the greatest lesson I ever learned from bad teachers or people who hated me or peers who made fun of me was the idea that work in mental health, work in education, and actually treating people in a manner in which they learn, in which they succeed, in which they actually become successful. When we treat people, we help through those programs. When we uplift and empower and understand people for who they are, not just their behavior, and when we listen and understand behavior that's challenging, people can succeed. I know right now this is a short period. I know this is a complex thing. But the one I want to invite you to do is, if you have questions, reach out to me. If you have ideas, share them with people. If you want to educate, but you're scared of being something that had traumatized you, be better. The human spirit, the human mind, the human condition is so designed that things can change and be better. And when we put in the work for ourselves and our community, we can do miraculous things. And I remember going back to that kid who was told he was so smart. Took me years to actually learn that was true and years to undo trauma. But I promise you now, I believe it. And if you're going through these things or you're hurting now, please seek help. Seek the right programs. Embrace the people around you. And I want to thank you for giving me the time to talk to you, to share my story, and know you are important no matter what other people say. Thank you.
Thomas's link tree can be found in the show notes and the video description below. Okay, on today's episode, we're going to do something a little bit different, and I kind of like it, and I think it's going to become a thing. We are not going to have a third storyteller, and in fact, after Ellen finished her tale, she and I got to talking on camera. I gotta say, a lot of the blanks, a lot of the questions that I had while listening to her tale and to Thomas's, well, I got to have some answers.
Strangely, now have a problem, and I really love to have your opinion on it. 2 hours ago, I just heard this pretty much exact same story, except he was bipolar. His story actually moved me to tears. The way he was treated throughout the school system and the way the education system treated him. And so I'm just sitting here listening to your story, Oh my God, how prevalent is this?
That's why I'm telling the story.
My first thought when I was listening to you was, can you put these two stories together in an episode? Because every episode has three speakers.
Sure. Right.
I'm like, it's like holding somebody up and just beating them in the face and then hitting them on the other side of the face. Or is that maybe the point? And this is also sort of personal to me, because my son also, not as bad, but also had similar problems trying to put the square peg into the round hole that is the education system.
Yes.
How would you put two stories like that together? Would you want to see your story alongside of someone similar?
Absolutely.
Or, okay. That's going to be a powerful episode.
So here's the thing. The modality of the injury is different. But we still, he and I have still... And I know very little of what you're telling me, but it sounds like he has also moved through a realization process, a healing process, and a survival event, or more than one, you know, and then learning to thrive again and learning to fall in love with life again.
Absolutely.
So there's, it's a, I think it's a common theme. My story is just based on the dyslexic diagnosis. You know, that's the root of where my childhood trauma came from. So, and yeah, the education system is, you know, so narrow. And to share another thing with you that's in the book, after I finished college, I went back to my high school. I wanted a copy of my transcript because I was thinking about, you know, what was my next step. And I ran into my old guidance counselor and, you know, it was kind of, hi, how are you? Oh, I just graduated from college, moving back to town and blah, blah, blah. And he looked at me and went, really? You graduated from college? So that'll tell you how much bias and, you know, what they really believed I was incapable. And they treated me such.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sounds like, I don't know. Well, I can tell you at least, well, 30 years ago, my son was kind of facing much the same thing. His was a learning disability, but they didn't want to teach to a learning disability. They wanted to teach to the masses, whatever.
Right.
How they could pass the standards of learning test. So, nope, I think these two stories must go together.
Yeah.
People need to listen.
The only reason I survived is because of who my parents were, and I give them a lot of credit. You know, they really fought for me, and they empowered me. You know, I couldn't stand up for myself as a six-year-old. You know, and I had to figure out a way to fit into a classroom that wasn't designed for me. That's one of the reasons why I'm telling this story, because there's a lot of parents out there, I think, who don't really understand what it means to be dyslexic. And they may accept what these teachers are saying, and they should not accept it.
So do you have a story to tell, a tale of your own, of struggles, of outcome, of empowerment, of, well, whatever story you want to share? Go on over to rickhiggins.com and click on the Contact Us button. And there you can submit your story request. Tell me everything that you want to share, and then we'll find some way of getting together, getting you recorded, and getting you in front of the world. Thanks for listening.